just as we were getting off the air yesterday, the Carolina Panthers signed Eli Apple. And while I don't want to make the mistake of thinking my Twitter timeline somehow represents the majority opinion, I was still surprised with how many people disliked the signing. I don't see any downside to it, or any risk with it. Yet I continue to read about how he once tweeted during a game on the sidelines, how he led the Saints in penalty yards the last few years, and was a bit of a hothead. If he was a quarterback and those were the concerns, I might be more worried about that. But not corner. There have been several Hall of Fame diva and hothead corners. However, in the case of Apple, I believe Matt Rhule's culture will be good for him. Let's look at the three coaches he's played for in the NFL. Ben McAdoo, fired very quickly. Funny looking guy, not very funny to Giants fans when you talk about what actually transpired those years. Pat Shurmur, fired after 2 years, traded away just months into his tenure. Then you got Sean Bountygate Payton, who's been his coach the last 2 years. So it's easy to point at the penalty yardage and say, oh, it's because he's not a great corner that he keeps getting penalty yardage and that he's a bit of a hothead. But let's not forget, the Saints, they have been in the bottom half of NFL penalty yardage among teams 6 of the last 8 years. Bottom 7 in 2 of those years, including a year ago. Carolina, it's a different deal. Matt Rhule isn't just some coordinator becoming a head coach for the first time. He's a culture builder. He was at Baylor when that was the worst football job to take, college or pro. Temple wasn't a lot better, and he turned those places into winners. Here's what we do know about Eli Apple. He thrived under the structure of a college coach. Urban Meyer, when you think about Coach Meyer, what he brought to Utah, Florida, and Ohio State, he brought structure. It was strict. It was culture. Rhule, while he's not quite Urban Meyer in personality, he does bring his process, to use the buzzword. And he does bring this culture. That is his MO. So I think it's going to be a better fit for Apple to step into that rather than being in New York City or under Sean Payton. It's the least amount of pressure, you can agree, Robert, that Apple's faced as a pro. He was a first-round pick. Not even just that. He was a top 10 pick in New York City, playing for the Giants. The spotlight, it's hot on any first-round pick. But in New York City, top 10, while the team's struggling, people are going to openly criticize you. Then he gets traded to the Saints. You're thrust into being a starter on a playoff team. And he did start for both playoff runs in 18 and 19. You have to go up against Matt Ryan. You got to go up against Cam Newton. Compare that to what he's stepping into right now. The contract details have been released. He's making $3 million a year. You want to talk about risk? That's the 50th highest paid corner in the NFL. That's $11.5 million less than what James Bradbury's making with the Giants. And Bradbury's getting that in each of the next 3 seasons. It's low risk. And that benefits both sides. Carolina, who gets a 24-year-old corner who's going to turn 25 with all this experience and top 10 talent and athleticism. Apple gets to be around structure, a place, be around something that mimics what he succeeded in last, the college environment, college culture, college coach. And he's going to be asked not to be the primary corner, but the second corner to Dante Jackson. It's an evaluation season. He gets to step here where they're not expected to win and prove how good he is and do so without breaking the team's cap, without having large expectations placed upon him. So I really do like the signing in almost every single way. If you're a Panthers fan and you have thoughts on Eli Apple's signing, on Twitter, at SportsHubTriad, you can chime in. 336-777-1600 is the phone number. Robert Walsh is the producer of this show, taking your calls today. Jordan Rodrigue, who I'm sad to say isn't going to be a Panthers beat writer much longer. In fact, I think she's already started as an LA Rams beat writer for The Athletic. She's going to join us as she wrote about Eli Apple with her colleague Joe Person yesterday. That's going to be at the bottom of the hour. Now, I'm going to admit this, and this is the only time we're going to get to this today. It's a really tough day to be doing sports radio. There's a lot of things going on in our country right now that you're not really interested in hearing about if you're choosing to listen to this platform. I understand sports radio, it's a bit of a distraction. But I'm feeling for the city of Minneapolis right now because it's a great sports city. It's a deprived sports city when you think about the last time they had a champion. Like, you got to go back to the early 90s Minnesota Twins to find the last champion they've had. But while their sports teams haven't won, that city is significant to many teams that surround us. That city's going to mean something forever to Virginia Cavalier fans who saw the Hoos win a championship in 2019 for the first time in program history, beating Texas Tech in that OT Classic. It's forever going to mean something to Duke Blue Devil fans. So it hurts to see what we saw last night. It was very surreal. But I'll also add this. The events in Minnesota exemplify why I never had an issue with what Colin Kaepernick did. That doesn't mean I agree with everything he said. Full disclosure, my dad's a police officer. And he does a great job. And it bothers me when people suggest that all cops are somehow bad. I have two cousins in law enforcement as well. In dangerous areas they've worked. I have many friends who are in law enforcement. Every time I see a police officer, I'm sure Robert can attest to this. I thank them for what they do. Every single time I see them. So this is something that does mean a lot to me. And when I see Kaepernick wearing the socks and the Castro shirt, I understand he's an imperfect messenger. But the way I've always felt about it, as long as the demonstrations that people participate in are legal and peaceful, I'm never going to tell somebody how to protest. Never. This was a really touchy issue when I think members of a band in Eastern North Carolina at ECU protested. It was right around the time where Kaepernick started all this. And I was asked to go on TV because they couldn't find anybody that would even mirror having an opinion in a largely red area saying that they backed what the band and Kaepernick were doing. And this is all I said. And somehow it was incredibly controversial. I don't agree with everything he represented, but I understand after seeing how violent things got last night and how destructive it was, and instances in Baltimore and in Dallas where it was similar, dangerous, scary. You can't get me to get charged up about somebody peacefully protesting. If it makes you uncomfortable, well, sometimes that's what protest is intended to do. But if it's not hurting anybody, if it's not illegal, if it's a peaceful protest, I'm never going to have an issue with it. It's a hallmark of American freedom. And last I checked, you again, correct me if I'm wrong. Robert, how many Panther fans did you see last year burning jerseys? How many Panther fans did you see having issue with what Eric Reed did before every single game last year? It was an issue at first when he got signed. Everybody paid attention to it. Then people stopped caring. So while the messenger might be flawed, I do think Kaepernick has proven his motivations were pure. He never sold out. We don't see him on TV often talking to reporters, trying to push a book, trying to push a movie, anything like that. And it's been, what, 3 years? His football career is over. Like, I'm not the guy who tries to perpetuate something just to get interest and make it a lightning rod, all that stuff. His football career is over. But I do think he's going to be remembered for a very long time. Probably as long as we live. Not like Ali was, because he wasn't nearly that good. Not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, not even LeBron James. Can't have that type of impact when you're not the absolute best in your field. But I don't think anybody thinks that Tommy Smith and John Carlos were the best at what they did. And we still remember them. They still had an impact. And it's been 50 years. since they were standing on that metal stand all those years ago, and I forget, 68 or 69. So this is the only time we're going to be doing this today. But I wanted to get that off my chest because, man, probably for a lot of you, for me especially, it's been a really rough day. And it's tough to see all that. And this radio show doesn't do well with that being the backdrop. So I promise you, this show's going to be what you wanted to come to it for. It's going to be a distraction. It's going to be fun. It's a Friday drive. We have a lot to do, and we're so glad that you're along with us. Coming up, I have ways for sports television networks to amplify games whenever they return if they can't have fans inside the building. That's next on The Drive.
What the hell is this?
The Drive.
This is kind of a great thing, and I'll tell you why.
Get caught up with all things sports.
That's awesome!
Well, that's not totally true. He talks about The Bachelorette, too.
Yes!
The Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
This is going to be a little bit of a bittersweet segment for us, as I just remember it like it was yesterday, 4 years ago or so. I was Googling to check how to pronounce our next guest's last name. It's our good friend Jordan Rodrigue. We have our football and food segment that we like to do. I don't know why I put him out of order. Food and football with Jordan Rodrigue. And this might be the last time we get to do it for a long time, because you are now not Carolina Panthers beat writer Jordan Rodrigue. You have recently accepted an opportunity to go back out west where you're from and be LA Rams beat writer for The Athletic, Jordan Rodrigue. Congratulations on that, Jordan. And if I'm not mistaken, I might have been one of your first radio interviews you had when you took the opportunity, right?
Yeah, you know, you are always working and you are always hustling. And so I remember about four years ago, I think you emailed me the first time. And you were so nice, and you were really, really polite, and such a warm welcome. And then we ended up talking, and then, you know, as our segments continued over the last few years, we realized, oh my goodness, we could talk about food too. So that's been great.
Yeah, and there's a couple things I want to get to about West Coast cuisine versus East Coast cuisine and other things related to that. But we actually have Panthers news to talk about. Eli Apple signed by the Panthers yesterday. We know they've been looking for a corner so they don't have to rush Troy Pride Jr. along the fourth round draft pick. What do you think most intrigued Carolina about Apple versus the other options that were available?
I mean, to be blunt, they just needed a corner. So you have to get a guy who's young but has experience starting. He kind of fits that Venn diagram. I don't think he is as bad of a player as he kind of has had the reputation of being over the last few years. I think that he still has the tools toward being a good player. I think Matt Rhule really, really likes his secondary coach and some of his assistant coaches in that position. So if you can kind of correct some bad habits, great. And you have a guy who was taken in the first round and you have him for a 1 year deal sort of for cheap. I saw some stuff yesterday. First of all, I saw people were mad at it. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I saw some stuff yesterday that said it shows that Herney believes the Panthers will contend. That's nonsense to me.
Yeah.
I think that they desperately needed a corner. I mean, that's all there is to this move. They desperately, I don't think people understand how dire their situation was, even after drafting Troy Pride, which is a great pick in my opinion. Their situation was absolutely dire at corner, going against other NFC South teams that have done nothing but add resources. And you're going to go out there without a true starting experienced number one corner. I mean, that's just silly. So no, Eli Apple does not make them a contender suddenly overnight, or double down on their contention suddenly overnight. What he does do is he fills a hole that they would have been embarrassed by if they would have started the season without a player at that position that has starting experience. And so to me, that's all this is.
And it also fits with what Carolina's done the rest of the offseason, offense and defense, where you only see just a couple of guys who get even more than a two-year contract. It's a short contract. It's a cheap one. I think he'd be the 50th highest paid corner this year with a $3 million deal Ian Rapoport announced earlier today. But do you know, I just looked at the calendar, and you know you have the Time Hop app where you can look at what happened 5 years ago, 3 years ago, even further than that, and see where anniversaries lie. I realized that this week marked the two-year anniversary of David Tepper becoming the Panthers owner officially. And we've learned a lot about Tepper over the last 2 years. You're a lot closer to it than I am. What do you think, after his first 2 years, the early reputation is for Tepper among NFL owners?
Among owners, I don't know that I could say that definitively. I think that they're cautious about the way that he can move markets. So that's something that they're, I wouldn't say people are like necessarily tiptoeing around the guy, but he hasn't really shown his hand yet. And to me, he hasn't really shown what kind of an owner he's going to be yet. He hasn't really shown what the identity of a football team with his name sort of on the paycheck is going to look like yet. We've seen a lot of breakdown and start to rebuild, but he has not really shown, you know, what his identity is going to be as an owner. We haven't really known, heard him rattle the table too much inside owners' meetings. He's kind of accumulating his information, and I think we're going to hear a lot more from him in these owners' meetings later on. But there was a early interview that I did with him back when he, you know, first went to his initial owners meetings, where it was like he wasn't interested. You know, he has had this reputation in the financial world of being like this mover and shaker and pounding the table and really doing the bold, daring, risky moves that worked out for him, and then being very vocal about it. He did not want to take that same approach as he entered NFL ownership. Instead, he's been sort of sitting back the last couple of years and gathering information, really analyzing the direction of the league, really understanding what these other owners are. Because to David Tepper, not only are these his colleagues, but he's in competition with all of these guys at this point, and he wants to be better than all of them. So I think this has been very much an analysis period for him, and I'm interested to see sort of what his identity becomes over the next 5 years or so as an owner.
Jordan Rodrigue of The Athletic with us here on Sports Hub Triad. It's food and football with Jordan, and let's get to the food part of this, where lawmakers in North Carolina, the North Carolina Senate, voted to reopen bars despite the governor's order from last Friday and us being in phase two. Restaurants were opening up at 50%. I tried to go to one on Sunday. I sat inside, and it just felt really strange. I was the only person there at around 11:30, and then there were two parties that came in around 12:15, and it just felt very far from normal. Have you sat in a restaurant yet? And if not, when do you feel comfortable doing so, you think?
No, I haven't. I have done a lot of work trying to support local businesses. I am still in Charlotte with my. I still don't know when I'm moving because of the pandemic, so I'm covering the Rams from afar. So I'm trying to do a lot to support the local businesses in Charlotte, and I'm not comfortable yet going anywhere. There's a lot of high populated areas, especially in the part of Charlotte where I live, and so I'm just not comfortable going to a restaurant. I want to do everything I can in order to take out and carry out, and I think a lot of restaurants here should be commended for the job that they're doing in terms of trying to keep things safe for their employees as well as for other people. So I've been doing a lot of takeout. Really enjoyed Copper Indian food takeout. Ooh. And also, of course, I've gotten Moosehead takeout several times. but I don't know when I'm going to feel comfortable in a restaurant again. And I don't know that I'll feel truly comfortable being anywhere in a heavily populated area until there's a vaccine for this. And that's even saying, you know, I'm not a high risk in a high risk population. But I don't want to put anyone else at risk. And that's the kind of thing that kind of keeps me awake at night, is what if I have put someone else at risk, or what if I would do that? And so for me, I just, you know, I want to make sure that I'm kind of eliminating that possibility. Luckily for me, I've been really exploring every possibility of my own kitchen. So we'll see how that goes once I move, because LA is known for their food. But it's just such a strange time, and I really want to support restaurants like you did, Josh, and I really want to make sure that we're maybe trying to get back to normal. But it's just, to me, something I just can't wrap my head around yet.
Yeah, I think the last time we did this, we were talking about things being locked down, and we said it's important to support local business and, hey, buy some gift cards. Let me add on top of that now, though. I got about a half dozen gift cards in my pocket, in my wallet. This is not the time to use those. Like, save those probably, because those businesses are still struggling. Pro tip, probably wait till the fall at the earliest to maybe pull out the rainy day gift card. Just a pro tip before we get things to, I think, East cuisine versus Western, where you're going to be headed to cover the Rams whenever it's safe to do so. What's the Southern regional chain you're going to miss the most around here?
That's so difficult, because I was actually thinking about this before we got on. I know for sure I'm going to miss all the various barbecue spots. And I know that doesn't necessarily include a chain, but I am very much going to miss all of that. I keep thinking, and I don't remember the name, but you would know this.
Okay.
One of the best sandwiches I ever had was at a barbecue spot. I was doing that story on Todd Gurley out in Tarboro.
Oh, my gosh. Eastern.
Yeah.
I got to remember. Robert might actually know better than I would. Tarboro Barbecue. Let's see if we can find what that joint is, because I know exactly what you're talking about. Hole in the wall. It is a chain, but a hole in the wall for sure,
right,
in Tarboro, North Carolina.
It's like famous cheddar biscuits.
Abrams.
Yeah. That was one of the best sandwiches I've ever had. So I miss that. Like, you're on the road for some of these stories in the Carolinas, and you pull over and you have one of the best sandwiches of your life just randomly. Like, I really will miss that about this region.
In-N-Out or Whataburger?
In-N-Out.
Why?
But you can't really compare them, because they're just different. Like, when you're in Texas, you really want a Whataburger, right? When you're in the West and you have kind of that salty air, you really want an In-N-Out burger.
Jordan, I hope to see you before you head out. Thanks so much for everything you've done for this show the last few years. And hopefully one time the Panthers will be playing the Rams and we can reconnect at a later point. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks, Josh. Really appreciate you, man.
You got it. That is Jordan Rodrigue. She's on Twitter, @JordanRodrigue. Shoot her a follow. If you have food recommendations for her on the way out, that might be a good place to go. I know she'll appreciate that. One of the best doing it. All right. We have a side-by-side comparison of Eli Apple versus other corners the Panthers potentially could have signed. And get this, we have another Sports Hub time machine that we need to explore. Another entry there, and we'll get to both of those next on The Drive.
Make some noise, make some noise, let's go!
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
All right, I might be higher on the Eli Apple hire, or signing, excuse me, than most Carolina Panthers fans, but most Panther fans have to agree, they needed a corner. There's no doubt that needed to happen. Jordan Rodrigue was just with us a short while ago, and she said, don't look much deeper into this than, okay, he's young, there's some promise there, he's a body, it's not going to be very expensive for us, go ahead and sign him. I'd make the argument, though, Apple, he's got more upside than pretty much any of the other options that were available to Carolina yesterday. Like, first off, pretty much all the other free agent corners who have started at least one game in the league that were available, over 30 years old or close to 30. Denard at Cincinnati, 28. Ross Cockrell, who was with the Panthers, started some last year, 28. Logan Ryan, you might remember him with Tennessee. He was 29, or is 29. You look at some of the more known commodities, they're ancient. Tremont Williams, 37. Aqib Talib, 34. Brandon Carr, 34. These were the guys that Carolina was looking at. Apple, right now, is 24, and he's going to be 25 in August. Also, Apple doesn't have an injury history at all. Cockrell, significant injury in camp in 2018. It cost him a full year. Banged up at Duke as well. Remember covering him. Really good player. Maybe even a first-round draft pick if he doesn't get hurt. But the injuries have to be factored in. The age has to be factored in. Apple, first-round talent, first-round athleticism, playoff experience with the Saints last year and the year before that, 25 starts with a really good team. I think we might be giving this guy a bit of a bad rep because expectations were just maybe a bit too high for a corner that it's taken a little bit more time for him to develop than most top 10 picks develop. But it's cheap. It's 1 year. It's $3 million. So I'm all in on what Carolina's doing here. I think they needed a corner, and they got a corner. Okay, Robert, we got another entry into the Sports Hub time machine to do. And this one is going to be unlike any of the others we've done in the past. Earlier in the week, we were talking about great sports movies of the last 20 years. I thought Moneyball is the greatest sports movie, and then somebody wrecked my world by tweeting me asking, is Gladiator a sports movie? And I thought, well, I don't think so, but then again, that was sport, and Russell Crowe was competing in gladiatorism. I think it might have been an actual sports movie. So, I don't know what time period we're going back to. It's just going to be a lot further back than the 90s, the 80s, the 70s, the 60s. We're going to go back to what this radio show might have sounded like after Maximus went head-to-head with Commodus in that fateful scene at the end of Gladiator. Let's enter the Sports Hub time machine.
It doesn't matter when you get here, just what time.
Back it up.
Let's go.
What would it sound like if The Drive with Josh Graham were here for some of the greatest moments in sports history? Today, we find out. Yeah. Let's fire up the Sports Hub time machine. Whenever the hell the gladiators were around.
Sword, give me a sword! Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Robert, I just have one question for you. Are you not entertained?
Oh my
God.
Are you
not entertained?
Are you not entertained? Yeah, I was entertained. I guess you could say that.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait to see what the ratings going to look like for that fight yesterday.
Are we going to get more fights? Like, I felt like that was very... The speech at the end of it, I was like, come on, I kind of enjoy the fights.
Two dudes died in the middle of the Coliseum. The Coliseum, though, I don't think I've ever seen it popping that way.
Oh, it was popping.
Oh my gosh. Like... crazy. Like, you probably have to go to BC times, you know, just a few decades ago to figure out the last time the Coliseum was popping that way. I've never been a Commodus guy. Let me just make that clear. I'm always repping Maximus. That's my dude. I'm all about Max. This is a Max radio show. They should not have let Maximus fight. Like, what are we doing here? He barely moved his left arm during the fight. He was clearly hurt, Robert. He was injured. How is he not on the injured list? How does this not happen?
They already signed the fight, and I think what they were saying is that there were so many incurable diseases that he had spent so much time in the winch cave with all the winches. I mean, I've heard some of my buddies work down there, and they were like,
did he have the cold?
Oh, probably. I did hear that he had a sniffly nose, so that could have played a part in it.
At least it wasn't the plague.
Ugh, the plague.
That would have been brutal.
Unless it got my mother-in-law, then it would not be
hey.
So brutal. Mother-in-law joke, still around when the gladiators were here. Hey.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about. He could barely move his left arm, man. How does Commodus lose this fight?
I mean, how does he not lose this fight? He's like a little man-child.
Who's going to wear a full white outfit to fight in the Coliseum?
It was
like,
very
there's
bold.
Dirt everywhere, blood.
You know you're going to bleed.
I mean, what are we doing?
He should have wore a brown pants, honestly.
Yeah, he probably should have.
That would have helped.
Also, after the fight's over, Commodus is laying there. Somebody going to scoop up the leader? Are we going to scoop him up?
Yeah, I guess
maybe just pick him up?
I don't think he's the leader anymore. I think he's done now.
Yeah, well, we don't know for sure because the guy who might have been leading, he fell out too. How about all these people surrounding? If you have all these rose petals that are being thrown in the middle of the ring, how about somebody, after the fight's over, give this guy a medic?
Or maybe some like, smelling salts.
Clearly,
something.
He's standing there for 3 or 4 minutes easily muttering things that I can't hear.
Yeah, and how long did it take old girl to get down from the balcony all the way down there?
Like,
and something has still not been done.
She's the only one that's trying to help?
Let me tell you something.
We're taking phone calls, by the way, on this great gladiator fight yesterday. Recapping the fight, man, if you missed it. Maximus beat... Can we even say Maximus beat Commodus? They both fell out.
I mean, he got him first. I mean, it was kind of like the first one down. He didn't get back up.
Well, they both died.
I mean, he died first, though.
336-777-1600, was it a draw or did Maximus win?
I'm still getting paid out my bet. I don't care. Maximus won. I took Maximus in the first two
Who's
rounds.
Who's your guy? Who's your bookie?
You know it's Matt. Clea something other. I don't know how names work in gladiator times. Estravradon, who knows?
Why do you keep referring as today Gladiator Times?
That's actually my favorite newspaper. I just figured that
was the Gladiator Times.
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
love it.
I didn't know you read the Times.
Yeah, I can't read. I kind of just look at it.
I read the
it.
Gladiator Post.
I like the pictures mostly and the crosswords.
They do have great... Did you just say crosswords?
Crosswords.
Crosswords. That's pretty good. Yeah, somebody probably should have helped him. Maybe the lady that's sitting in the third deck shouldn't be the first person to get to him to make sure he's okay. Somebody might need to help them out there. Also, I was in the lower bowels of the Coliseum watching this in real time. Very awkward post-fight press conference.
Oh, my God. I did not hear this. I was actually, I got caught up. A bunch of my goats got out, so I missed this.
Like, we're just sitting there. Like, I didn't see. I had to go and watch the replay to see that, you know, he fell out and all this. I'm just waiting. Oh, man, what's taking the guy so long? Then we learn, oh, he died. Oh, great. So what are we going to do? Like, how am I going to get my work done for this radio show here? So we don't have any sound today from the actual press conference because both Maximus and Commodus are dead. This isn't great.
I just want to know if we're still having fights. Because, like, I cannot
yeah,
spend
how can
Saturday
we have,
at my...
How can we still have fights after this? It's kind of brutal, Robert.
I mean,
like, somebody needs to think about the protection of these players or of these gladiators. Like, are these helmets doing more damage than they're actually helping? Like, are they leading with the helmet when they're fighting with the sword? Should spearing be an illegal front?
I think as long
if you target somebody above the chest, should you be disqualified from the fight?
I think as long as you're showing intent to kill, it should not be a penalty. As soon as your intent is to like maim or just take someone's
right,
option
right.
to walk away,
Got
that's
it.
Not cool. I think we should illegalize nets. No more nets. No more tridents. No more. What is this? Poseidon? We're not doing that anymore.
It's just. I think there needs to be significant change. Needs significant change because this fight, I think it's going to be talked about for quite some time. It's that big. All right. A lot of stuff happening in the world right now. A lot of things.
So much.
Coming up, I have an idea that's going to blow your mind. I think we're going to be thousands of years ahead of where people thought we'd be at as a society. I think I have a plan to get people, Robert, in the air.
Are we doing a sports show or are we doing a fiction show?
I'll stick to sports next on The Drive.
Oh, what's happening? My body's being ripped in pieces, Josh! Wow!
okay.
Why are you scaring
that
people?
That feels kind of good.
Like, you might actually be scaring people.
It hurts again!
Stop.
Ah!
Okay. You actually might be scaring people in their car, Robert. Like, you might actually be scaring people in their car.
Oh, my gosh. We're never going back in time again.
Like, I'd like to imagine somebody driving in their car on 40 and hearing you scream for no reason whatsoever.
It hurt coming back in this time
Whoa!
Machine.
Whoa!
It was a long and drawn-out process. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, our radio show sounded pretty good back then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. One of these times, we need to get, like, one of the guest interviews that we did at that time.
who would we be talking to?
I mean, not Maximus.
Not
or Commodus.
Yeah. Neither one of those guys.
I don't think I'd be able to get Caesar. Like, trying to get Caesar would be trying to, like, get Michael Jordan.
And honestly, I would just be prone to stab him, you know? We should just all stab Caesar.
Nah, you're too big of a wuss. You would never stab Caesar. We know that. Looking at some other news happening. North Carolina kind of being a leader when it comes to the coronavirus front. They have announced a roadmap to return to campus. Bubba Cunningham was sitting with Jones Angel, breaking things down, going over the timeline to return June 1st. That's when facility staff members could return June 8th. Sports medicine, June 12th. The staffs, coaching staffs, football, men's and women's basketball, and then student athletes can return the following week. They could start to come in. June 12th through July the 1st, football, student athletes, basketball isn't going to come in until the following month on July the 6th. So, North Carolina announced that, and then the NCAA announced return to campus plan soon after. You are listening to WSJS Winston-Salem, WCOG Greensboro, WPCM Burlington, WMFR High Point. Those signals making up Sports Hub Triad. Eli Apple signed with the Panthers yesterday. In honor of that, we pay homage the only way we know how on Fridays. It's with our weekly top 10 list. I want as much help I can get from the audience to come up with a creative name here. It's my top 10 athletes with fruit names. You can tweet me at Josh Graham Radio, at Sports Hub Triad. What do you make of the ones I've gotten so far, Robert? Mark tweeting in, Coconut Crisp.
Okay, I can take that.
Jake Plummer, that comes from Bethany.
Bethany, you can do better than that.
How about Cleo Lemon?
Okay.
Remember Cleo Lemon? Played
no.
for the Miami Dolphins a few years ago. Daryl Strawberry, Kelsey Plum, O.J. Simpson, not making the cut.
That's unfortunate.
O.J.'s not on the list, but thanks for playing. If you have any more submissions on Twitter at Sports Hub Triad, at Josh Graham Radio, let's dive right in. It's my top 10 athletes with fruit names. Athletes of fruit names. Number 10, Robert. Number 10 on the list. Meadowlark Lemon.
Fruits are a go. Go, fruits.
Did you just now learn who Meadowlark Lemon was?
I still don't know who Meadowlark Lemon is.
Oh. Those who know, know. Shout to the Globetrotters. Number 9. Number 9. Athlete with a fruit name. Barkevious Mango.
Well, I got a number. How do you like them apples?
That is one of my favorite lines in the history of film.
Every time I hear it, I just hear you doing your rendition of it.
Hey, you like apples? Well, I got a number. How do you like them apples? Not terrible.
Number eight.
Top 10. Athletes with fruit names. Jell-O Orange.
Some angry member of the kitchen staff. Did you not tip them away? It was a run by fruiting.
Another example of those who know, know. And that's an all-time name right there. Number 7. My number 7 athlete with a fruit name. Bart Starfish.
I like to have a lot of fresh fruit around.
Wouldn't it be star fruit?
Oh, shoot. I actually had star fruit written down. I read it as fish.
Yeah,
let's do this again. We'll just edit it out in post.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah.
Number seven. My number seven athlete with a fruit name. Bart Starfruit.
I like to have a lot of fresh fruit around.
Including Bart Starfruit. I didn't think Starfruit was a real thing. Like, I played video games, and there was the Starfruit in Kingdom Hearts.
Yep, where you ate them with somebody, your souls were bound together and
That's
all
right.
that nerdy stuff.
I didn't think it was real.
It is real.
Bart Starfruit. Making the cut. Number six. My number six athlete with a fruit name. Joel Berry.
Well, I accidentally played this one twice, so.
I like to have a lot of fresh fruit around.
More like three times.
Either way, you got it again.
Joel Berry, friend of the show. Number five. Number five on my list. Corn elderberry.
Well, me and Cage are hungry. We're hungry for some fruit.
If you can name that Pick of Destiny song, I'll give you $100.
I have never seen...
What?
Pick of Destiny. I remember a guy who now works at Sirius. I used to do radio. An ex-radio wife of mine.
I don't like you bringing up your exes.
He once tried to get me to watch Pick of Destiny, and I thought it was the stupidest movie I've ever seen.
Oh,
my
God.
I didn't care about it anymore.
It's Jack Black at his peak.
The songs, though, are good.
I think the movie's good.
What's your favorite position? Number four. My number four. What was the name for people playing at home? Name of that song.
Low-hanging fruit.
Ah. I see what you did there. Number four on the list, Plum Phillips.
It's just a boring old orange. Maybe to you, but not to me.
God, some of these are so obscure. If you can tell me what that's from.
Don't care. Plum Phillips, though. I just love, my favorite fact about Plum Phillips is that he would never wear a hat in a dome. Like, his mom taught him, never wear hats indoors. And that even applied for football games. He's head coach in the Oilers, and he's not wearing his big 10-ton cowboy hat. 10-gallon cowboy hat, not 10 tons. Don't know what I was going for there. I love that about Plum Phillips. Number three. My number three athlete with a fruit name. The Grape Bambino. RIP. R.I.P. Little Richard. Number two. I'm proud of this one. Number two. Top 10 athletes of fruit names. Raspberry Borrego.
Have you ever tried to drink a raw carrot, Gordy? It can't be done.
Raspberry Borrego. Number one on my list. Top 10 athletes with fruit names. Pear Bryant.
Fruit salad. Yummy, yummy.
I know you're really upset at me for not having a shout out all the pear in there for number one.
Oh, I'm talking about Rick Ross being interviewed. He's shirtless because, oh. And he's being asked about his diet. I don't know. Was he losing weight? I don't know for sure.
Yeah, he's losing weight.
Yeah. And he said, they got me eating vegetables, pears, and bleep. Shout out to all the pear.
Classic.
You can find that on the internet.
It's there. It's documented.
It's one of my favorite pieces of sound. If you just type in on your YouTube channel or on your YouTube search bar, Rick Ross, shout out to all the pear. Shout out pear. It'll come up, and your day will be better for it. I think we all can learn from the boss, Rick Ross. And shout out to all the pear. It's a lesson that we all can carry with us here. I found myself staying up for the NASCAR race last night. The story going in was Chase Elliott versus Kyle Busch. Neither were starting in the top 15. And what a week it's been. What a seven-day stretch it was for Chase Elliott. Or I guess an eight-day stretch. Because he had a week of being close at Darlington. Top five finish for sure until Kyle Busch spun him out in a race that I'm surprised even happened in South Carolina. Then on Monday, or excuse me, this past Sunday, he's leading at the very end. One of his teammates wreck, and all of a sudden, his team says, hey, you need to pit as we go into the overtime laps. It hurt him. He didn't win. He wins the truck race, snapping Kyle Busch's 7-race winning streak, does the bow, collects the bounty from Kevin Harvick, who put it up, ticked off Busch, and we thought that was going to be the headline going into Wednesday. That race gets washed out. Last night, you get lightning 30 laps in, and you're just thinking, man, Mother Nature just doesn't want NASCAR to get these midweek races off the ground. But then you had Chase Elliott emerge from the middle of the pack, and there was a lot of separation there. I was just thinking, oh, man, last 6 laps, when he has over 2 seconds of distance between him and I think it might have been Bowman or Blaney in second place, you're just thinking, oh, not again. Let's hope he doesn't. There isn't a wreck, and he gets held up. But everything stayed true. Everything stayed true down the stretch, and he ended up winning the race. Felt pretty good for Chase Elliott to finally break through in the Cup Series as things transitioned to Bristol this weekend. T-Bone tweets in, Coconut Crisp would really like a word right now. I mean, it's my list. Antrel fruit roll-up didn't make it either. Or apple juicy Okanen.
I'm glad that did not make it in.
Houston nut didn't make it. Did you know that?
I don't think nuts are fruits. I think they're a legume anyway.
Nuts are fruits. I was about to say, did you know that nuts were a fruit?
I think it's a legume.
Dr. Jerry pomegranate. Fig Newton. Eric Berry. This isn't an athlete, but I think it's fun. Fruity Pebble Beach.
You're just having a little fun.
Oh, my gosh. It's a Friday drive.
You were like, oh, man. You know what? I'm just going to toss these around.
I am lowering my head into a bathtub filled with cheese. Sunglasses on, feeling cool as ever with the top 10 list. Friday shows, man. Better than the rest. At least how it feels around here. Coming up. Why Matt Rhule and the Panthers are just what Eli Apple needs right now. Keep it here on The Drive.
Everybody, listen up.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
I can't believe this. This is insane.
I don't know if Robert knows this, but this is Stan Cotton's introduction. I don't know a bigger Seinfeld fan out there, maybe other than my girlfriend. I don't know a bigger Clint Eastwood fan in the triad than the voice of the Demon Deacons. All I got to say to you right now, Stan, is howdy, partner.
I reckon so. Good deal. You've got me pegged. If your girlfriend is a big Seinfeld fan, then you have chosen very wisely. Good for you.
In the last 3 months, I've watched 8 seasons of Seinfeld. I'm on season 9 right now. So I'm making up a lot of ground in a short amount of time. I'm sure you're happy to know that. I also should say congratulations as well, because in the last week and change, you were inducted into the Greater Knoxville Sports Hall of Fame. Congrats on that.
Well, I appreciate that. I was very surprised to get that phone call and flattered. So I guess maybe you can go home again. But I'm honored and looking forward to heading back home here in a couple of months to get that. But that was that means a lot. Really does. Thank you.
Before we get to Steve Forbes, we haven't talked to you since that hire was made. I think we need to stop procrastinating on something. It's the middle of the summer. It's a pandemic. I mean, there's not games to distract us. I still need to watch, with Clint Eastwood on mind, I need to watch the outlaw Josie Wales. What's the earliest? What's the earliest we could make this happen? Because I feel like I could either stream it this weekend or next weekend, or I could even, God forbid, make a trip out to the Radio Ranch. I need to watch this movie. You've got me very excited.
Well, I mean, talk to any Clint Eastwood fan, and they'll be excited that you're going to watch this movie. As a matter of fact, upstairs, I'm downstairs right now in my house, but upstairs in my office, my home office, I have a clear top on my desk, and I've got a small, I don't know if you call it movie poster or playbill, whatever, but it's of the movie Outlaw Josie Wales. I'll take a photo of it and send it to you after we're through here. But, we need to get it done. You need to get it done, whether it's with me or not.
It's going
to
happen.
And you'll see what real cinema is like, especially Whoa. The scene with 10 bears.
10 okay? bears. Robert, you love bears. Semi-pro. There's one bear, and that's a lot. 10 bears? 10 bears, Robert.
You're blowing my mind.
Yeah. So if it's that's not awesome, if it's not the Radio Ranch the next 2 weeks, I'll stream it. We'll make it happen, and then we'll bring you back and do a review of the
go.
Outlaw Josie Wales. Steve Forbes. Saw a video of him earlier this week, just casually dropping that he spent one day trying to sell his house and did so. The guy, he's hitting in a lot of ways. They don't get the transfer from Georgetown. They're not able to bring Olivier Saar back, but those are the only two things you could really knock him for. It seems to me that he's got this very magnetic personality. He's not afraid of the big boys. He doesn't mind talking about the big boys. That was made clear on this show a few weeks ago. For you, I don't think the personality strikes me as like Skip, who would drop a poem and reference like deep literature in a post-game interview. I don't think that's what Forbes is. It's very everyman. It's very outgoing. It's very magnetic. Do you remember Wake football or basketball having a personality like this?
Well, I think your comparison with Skip Prosser's is pretty true. But I think in a lot of ways that they will be alike, in that they will tell you what they think. They won't be afraid to speak their mind, and they'll be kind of magnetic in different ways. I've spoken once to Coach Forbes on the phone. We spent, I don't know, this was a couple of weeks ago, about 15, 20 minutes. He's got a lot more important things to do right now than speak to me on the phone. But we got together, just had a little chat, and I left that conversation, Josh, just feeling really, really good about him being in charge because of his personality. But also just, I don't know, there's something about him that I think the Wake Forest fan base is just going to eat up. And I think they, for the most part, have already. I don't know. I've contacted a lot of folks in Knoxville and Johnson City and other parts of East Tennessee, checking in with, trying to get a report card on him. And to a person, they said, look, when he gets players in there, he can certainly coach him up. And so I'm excited about the opportunity that he's got. And I've talked to Coach Mackey a little bit, and good to see Randolph Childress coming back. So I think they're going to have a really good blend on the staff. And again, I just think he's hit the ground running and just gave me every indication that he's the right guy at the right time. So I'm certainly looking forward to football first, but can't wait till basketball gets here and actually see, what he puts on the court, how he makes up his team right now. I think he's got, you mentioned Saar and a couple other transfers maybe, but the kids that he does have coming back and the new blood coming in, I'm anxious to see how he puts all that together and then what kind of product he puts on the court. I'm really, really looking forward to that, but I'm anxious that it's going to be good.
I just like that he shoots high. Like the Olivier Saar thing, yeah. I don't view that as a really negative thing for Wake Forest, because when he jabs Kentucky, it's coming from a guy who was at Tennessee and won just as much as Kentucky did in the 4 years he was in the SEC. And you're talking about a guy who was higher seeded than Kentucky the times he faced them in the NCAA tournament on Greg Marshall's staff at Wichita State. So he's been around long enough that he's not afraid of the big guys. And he's not afraid, to Today, he's reportedly on the phone with a five-star recruit. He's not afraid to get into the mix with Mac McClung, who he recruited in Gate City, Virginia, which is 30 minutes away from Johnson City. I think all that's good, and also it's very public. Wake Forest, even though it wasn't them getting Sarr back, they're being talked about on Pardon the Interruption. They're being talked about on Highly Questionable. Wake Forest is a part of the discussion, and I don't think we ever saw that really with Danny Manning and Jeff Bezdelic. So I think that could be a positive thing.
Well, I just think, again, Steve is going to be willing to do whatever it takes to get Wake back in the conversation, you know, and not just locally. As you mentioned, some of those national programs and folks around the country, I think, are anxious from afar to look at, you know, Wake Forest basketball with someone else in charge now and see what happens. And you mentioned not being afraid of the big boys. He's been with them. I mean, he's been at Tennessee. He's been at Wichita State. He's, you know, been at Texas A&M. And when he got his own shop at East Tennessee, historic runs there for the Bucks. So I think you've got to feel confident in the fact that he can coach basketball, right? And now he's in the ACC. I think he's going to have a shot to get a lot of high-quality basketball players in here to Winston-Salem. And then it'll be really fun once he's had his hand on the wheel for 2-3 years to see what he brings to the table. But, I just think most of the Wake Forest fans are ready for him. They love the hire by John Curry, and they're excited to see what he brings to the table again.
I'm interested in what you make of the hype of Jamie Newman that we're seeing at Georgia. It's Stan Cotton with us here, the voice of the Deacs, because I loved watching Jamie at Wake Forest, and he's a kid that, I mean, developed in the state of North Carolina, was under-recruited a bit, and we saw what he did against in-state teams. I'm not diminishing that at all, but then the SEC has a different hype machine for football than I think the ACC does, and that's not necessarily a slight to the ACC, it's just a different deal for the SEC, and all of a sudden I'm seeing shows talk about, oh, he's kind of like a mix of Jalen Hurts and Cam Newton. And I'm like, okay, that was on Feinbaum. And I'm thinking, I mean, I cover the Panthers, and I watched Cam Newton the last few years, and I cover Wake Forest, and I've watched Jamie the last few years. At no point, and this is no disrespect to Jamie, did I think this guy is Cam Newton. So what do you think is a realistic expectation as he tries to make this transition from the ACC, which was down this past year, to the SEC and trying to compete against the Alabamas, the Auburns, and the top of the top notch in college football?
Well, look, I'm a Jamie Newman fan, and I was a fan of Jamie's from day one. When he walked onto the Wake Forest campus, just when I looked at him physically, I fell in love with him. I mean, he was a big quarterback, something that Wake had not had in so long, at least not as big as he was and now is. And I was anxious to see him get his chance, and I think he did a ton with it. I don't think you could argue against that. And was there anyone hotter than Jamie Newman the first 2 months of this past season? I'm not sure. I mean, he was completing passes at, north of 70%?
Yeah.
And to some great receivers now, I'll give you that. But look, you got to stand back there and throw the football. You got to get your team into the right play, and he was doing that. He was also asked to run a lot. He ran almost 200 times this year, and that's not because he had a bad offensive line. There were plays designed for Jamie Newman to run the ball. So is he Cam Newton? That's not fair. And those comments, I think, made by his coaches were just, look, coaches trying to beef up their player. And I've got no problem with that. But look, he's got one more year of college eligibility to gobble up. So let's see what the kid can do at Georgia and in the SEC. I tell you what, Josh, I wouldn't bet against him because he can throw. He's got a good arm. He throws the ball downfield very well, and he can run the ball. I mean, he can. So that combination, I think, is why Georgia signed him in the first place. You know, so I'm not into comparisons of other players. I just know this. I like him. I wouldn't bet against him, and I'm anxious to see him play one more year. Look, I wish, like all Wake fans, I wish he were in Winston-Salem It surprised me a little bit, more than a little bit, quite honestly, when he left. But look, that was his choice, and so good for him. He's where he wants to be right now. So let's see what happens. But again, I would not bet against that guy. I promise you that.
All right, let's get to the contentious stuff. We might have fist fights on the radio. It's good that you're not in studio. It's good you're on the phone for this. Who's your favorite? Okay. Who's your favorite main character on Seinfeld? Jerry, Elaine, George, or Kramer?
Oh, I tweeted it out today. It's Kramer. You got to go with the K-Man.
We're actually all in line. Robert agrees. I agree. The audience doesn't. 42% of the poll says it's George.
Well, look, you. First of all, it's a genius ensemble, I think, right? And you couldn't have Seinfeld without George Costanza. You couldn't. But Kramer is so physically funny to me that I don't know. I love his physical humor. I don't know.
He's the guy who's hardest to replace, right? Like, I get the show is called Seinfeld, but in terms of character, trying to play someone to play a role, Kramer's the one that's the most difficult to replace, I think.
I think you're exactly right on that. I would agree with you 100%. And we don't do that often, but with that, you get my vote.
Outlaw Josie Wales, we need to make it happen. Oh. I'm going to text you when we get done with this, and we'll see if we can line up a time over the next few weeks, because I'm now starting to commit to these things. Ed Hardin invited me on his boat to go fishing sometime.
Oh,
I got to
commit
to that. And I haven't done it. And I said for months, heck, it's probably been years, Stan, that we've been saying we're going to watch this damn movie, and I haven't done it yet.
We'll make it happen. We will make that happen, one way or the other.
I hope you've been well. Hope the dogs are well as well in the radio ranch. Thanks for doing this, buddy.
You bet. They're all good.
Got it. That's Stan Cotton, voice of the Demon Deacons.